KnockoutKara.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite Knockout Kara.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to I'm a Rock Star.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Since I have been on this earth, I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of good people. And I'm man enough to admit when I am in the wrong. And I was wrong about you, Brian. I viewed you as this minuscule little creature chasing this uphill war that you could never win. I saw you busy chasing your little girly friend around on television, buying a diamond. How long are you willing to live this lie? How long until they discover that your dirty little feet are soiling their red carpet?
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
Being a scientist is really starting to pay off. A lot of people don't know about that, but being a scientist and being a pro wrestler at the same time, hypothesis, conclusion, same thing. He's the best, and I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was half detective, half scientist. He's science to figure out cases. Maybe when I get done with pro wrestling, I can be like the new Sherlock Holmes, but in real life, where I solve cases using my science.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And well, I forgot the plug.
You said the wrong plug at the start. Yay! Anyway.
I told you I was going to do it.
I knew you were.
Anyway, I'm your host, and it's not a rack if I don't screw something up. So, of course, Lindsay Warren joining me, as always, is Rock. We'll do it next week.
There we go. We'll do it next week. And to
we're also brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Check them out because they're awesome.
YouTube.com/MBG1211. And Lindsay, you know,
I gave you cookies!
Yes, yes, you did. 1-800-BOLEAVE. He will give you cookies. It's still the single greatest wrestling line ever.
And once again,
I gave you cookies!
Oh, Bo Dallas gives me life. He really does. You don't know what we're talking about. Watch NXT, and you better just believe in Bo Dallas, because he is coming to the Raw roster, and when he does, you can expect me to be in nonstop giggle fits of glee. Every Monday night on the Raw Post Show.
11:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
But anyway, we've got a lot to get into. We don't have enough time to talk about Bo Dallas tonight, sadly.
Well, we do. Well, we do later when we talk about NXT.
Yeah, we do later when we talk about NXT. But, well, you know, we've got news, we've got NXT, we've got a discussion. And, you know, but before we get on to all of that, we have our question of the night.
Yeah, and the question of the night goes sort of as follows. After, you know, he's done, you know, feuding with John Cena, who would you like to see Bray Wyatt face next? So, we got some interesting responses. We'll get to them later in the program here on The Rack.
Awesome. Very curious to see where that one goes. But now we're going to jump right into the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com. The number one source for news, because they don't have a tagline. I don't know. So anyway, we're just going to start out with, you know, we're going to start out with TNA this week.
Hot damn.
Because why not? Rockstar Spud, it was announced that Rockstar Spud, James Storm, Robbie E, and Gunnar have all re-signed with TNA. Rockstar Spud was at least a storyline. I don't know how true it was.
It's true.
Okay. So, well, we wanted to give Rockstar Spud his due, but yes, so all of them have re-signed deals with TNA Wrestling, so we can expect them to be around for a while.
They will be around for multi-years.
I'm okay with this. I'm totally okay with this.
That's what the listing of the contracts were. Multi-year deals with TNA Wrestling. It's good to see that they're keeping some of their own, and a few younger talents in Robbie E and Rockstar Spud, because Rockstar Spud is the only reason I continue to watch TNA Wrestling on a consistent basis, because he is entertaining like no one else. And if you haven't seen the video of Dixie Carter giving Rockstar Spud the contract, you need to go away and find it on the TNA's YouTube channel tomorrow.
Yes, because it's kind of awesome.
It is kind of awesome. It's all special and cute, and yeah. It's like, aww, Rockstar Spud has done so well, and he really has. He's come a long way since he debuted in TNA, because he won the British Boot Camp and really didn't do much from that point, and now being with being a heel with Dixie Carter and Ethan Carter III, it really turned out well for him.
They gave him the ball as far as being the chief of staff, and he has absolutely run with it. So, you know, congratulations to him, and again to Robbie E and to James Storm, who is one of the TNA originals, and of course Gunnar, for all re-signing. Very, very well done. Shelsby knows that Samoa Joe is out of action right now. He has personal issues that he's taking care of. And, well, it seems Austin Aries, even though he was on the show tonight, seems to be in the doghouse right now, so we may not see as much of him as we would like.
Yeah, Samoa Joe, I believe, even though he's been out with personal issues, he won't be on TV for a few weeks, but he's expected, I think, to return to the house show tour either this weekend or next. So Samoa Joe will be coming back, but won't be on TV because they have been taped for a few weeks now. So Samoa Joe will be back. He was dealing with personal issues, family issues, so hopefully those are taken care of.
Yes, and we all should note that while there's a lot of good news in people resigning and people taking breaks, we do have some sad news. It seems that Chris Sabin is probably done with TNA. There's a contract on the table, but he, at this point, has not accepted it as of yet.
He worked his last date last Saturday for the One Night Only Extravaganza pay-per-view. So that was his official last day with the company as of now. Will he be back? He could be. But as of now, his contract is just about up, and he has nowhere scheduled dates with the company. So he is currently taking bookings. So if you want to book him, go check him out. Find him on Twitter and probably get the contact information there. So that's the update on Chris Sabin.
So we'll be curious to see where he ends up going.
It will be. I expect him to be a high commodity on the independent scene here in the next few weeks, if that's all going. Christopher Daniels and Frank Kazarian are also taking independent bookings via Bill Barron, so you want to go check, get involved with Daniels and Kazarian, check Bill Barron out.
Pretty awesome stuff. So, moving on, we also should announce, that Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling has inked a deal with 25x7 Productions and Dave Broom, who is the creator of NBC's Biggest Loser.
Yeah, they made the announcement on Tuesday that they've signed a deal with them, which should be a good deal for Global Force Wrestling. Means they're searching out a big television deal where they sort of are going to try to compete weekly with WWE and TNA on a television level. It doesn't look like it's going to be a traditional wrestling show. There's going to be matches, but it looks like there's going to be a little bit more in terms of reality-based and interaction stuff to go along with this new TNA television, not TNA, Global Force Wrestling television broadcast. The press release goes, 25/7 is the leading independent production company launched by Broom in 2003, in addition to being the creator and executive producer of the long-running hit NBC hit series Biggest Loser. His credits include some of the biggest television specials in the world of music and sports, such as The Tsunami, Aid, and Concert for Hope for NBC, which he executive produced with George Clooney. He has also executive produced Clear Channel's Radio Music Awards and live specials for the NHL. We are excited to enter this journey with a group as talented as Dave Broom and 25/7, said Jeff Jarrett, founder of Global Force Wrestling. They've achieved some great things over the past decade, and we feel like they can lend a unique perspective both in and out of the ring. Broom said, it's easy to get excited about Global Force Wrestling when you get to know Jeff Jarrett and see his passion and understand his vision. He's eager to bring a new perspective to professional wrestling, and we're eager to help him achieve that goal. More announcements to come. Use the hashtag #JoinTheForce.
So, seems Global Force Wrestling is already, you know, making a presence.
They are. They had a nice article in Hollywood Reporter talking about the company. They mentioned in that report that Jeff Jarrett and Toby Keith tried to fully buy TNA Wrestling last year, but that fell through. Which we talked about earlier this year or late last year that actually happening. So it just confirmed those rumors.
Right. So, well, darn. But I'm looking forward to Global Force Wrestling. I'm looking forward to see what it does.
Yeah. One other TNA note before we move on to WWE and stuff. Dixie Carter announced on Twitter that TNA will be taping episodes of Impact Wrestling from the Sands Casino Resort in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on June 19th and 20th. So the tweet goes, at Impact Wrestling is bringing a full house to Sands, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, June 19th and 20th for live TV. Stay tuned for on-sale dates. Use the hashtag TNA Sands. So that will be the first three shows, following Slammiversary.
Ooh, should be interesting. Mm-hmm. So now moving on to WWE news, we've got to, of course, talk about some of the biggest news of the week, which is, of course, WrestleMania. It was announced that it exceeded expectations as far as buys. They had 1 million U.S. buys that's on the network and on pay-per-view combined for WrestleMania. That is huge.
That is a huge number. It's the most ever U.S. numbers for the company. They did nearly 400,000 buys on traditional pay-per-view through in-demand DirecTV and Dish Network. That's a big number for them. That's $65 a shot. Yeah, the press release goes, WWE today announced that WrestleMania 30 reached a record 1 million households in the U.S. alone on WWE Network and pay-per-view combined. The first time WrestleMania has eclipsed this mark domestically, with more than 667,000 WWE Network subscribers in the U.S. and nearly 400 domestic pay-per-view buying homes for WrestleMania 30, WWE is confident it will reach its goal of 1 million subscribers for the WWE Network by the end of 2014.
Yes. So, congratulations to them, and obviously this good news definitely helped their stock to rebound, especially after it dropped when the network numbers came out. Obviously, the investors are feeling confident with those numbers as opposed to the network numbers. So, again, a big congratulations to WWE on the massive success that was WrestleMania 30. And the network, of course.
Yeah, it's been it's been interesting. They've been airing WWE WrestleMania Fallout shows on the network the last few days. I've caught a couple of them. They actually show press conferences after the fact. That was kind of interesting to watch.
They talked about The Thing yesterday.
Yeah, no, I watched Paul Heyman talk about The Thing. I didn't watch the actual thing, but I watched Paul Heyman talk about The Thing, and he was like, he was having no part of the questions. He was, you know.
He's being Paul Heyman. He's being typical Paul
Heyman. He was being very, very Paul Heyman. That was tremendous. No, there is good news, but there is also some bad news. It's way better when you need it. We talk about the highs, Lindsay, with the WWE pay-per-views for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
DirecTV has dropped WWE pay-per-views at this time.
Which is interesting.
It is.
I mean, we all kind of figured it was coming because they were the ones that were rumbling most about the WWE Network when it first came out.
Right.
So, you know, it was kind of everybody was expecting, as far as, you know, DirecTV would actually be the first one to drop the WWE pay-per-views, and it was actually Dish that did it. So, obviously, DirecTV is making their presence now felt where they don't like the WWE pay-per-views. But it's kind of interesting that, you know, WrestleMania does a million buys, you know, 400,000, I believe, total across cable providers. So I don't know what Direct's number was.
That would be DirecTV and cable.
That would be DirecTV and cable?
And Dish. Whatever cable. That's domestic buyers. So that's Dish and Dish, DirecTV, and In Demand.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't know what they did individually. You know, so if it's 400,000, you can kind of figure it out. So it may not have been the profit margin, may not have been there for them, but it's just, it's kind of interesting that they do it after WrestleMania. It's like they got their money, and they're like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, they're not very confident with Extreme Rules. Dish Network is currently not listing Extreme Rules either, so it looks like Dish will be dropping WWE pay-per-views for the time being. They said beforehand that it will be on a pay-per-view by pay-per-view basis. Does this mean WWE's done on Dish and Direct? Maybe, or maybe not. They could come back for maybe the Big Four. Whatever they seem valuable to them at this point. WWE is okay right now. WWE will take a hit with this. But the biggest hit is if WWE loses In Demand. And so far, In Demand's staying with WWE. Which is,
yeah,
good.
It seems like Comcast and In Demand, they're perfectly happy with WWE despite the network. I think they understand the move, and honestly, it's something of, at least for In Demand, that's more potential customers for them if Dish and Direct drop WWE pay-per-views, because some people be like, well, screw this, I'll go to, you know, whatever carrier and get an In Demand pay-per-view.
Right.
Or, you know, more people could be like, well, you know, $10 a month for 6 months to get the WWE Network per pay-per-view, that's worth it by itself, especially when you're considering that you're paying 40 or 50 per pay-per-view on the cable providers.
Right, so WWE Network subscriptions will probably go up. If WWE loses In Demand, then we got some problems, because then they're out of the pay-per-view business in total.
Yeah, but again, that just means more network subscribers. That means
they'll need a lot more network subscriptions, more subscribers, because their profit margin counts on having the pay-per-view still around a little bit.
Right.
So, everybody, buy the WWE Network. It is awesome. We watch it all the time. And, well, we have an announcement probably later about what's more stuff coming from the WWE Network that we're going to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk
because
about it.
We got a request. We consider the request, and we'll just say request approved for right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later in the program. So,
but
yeah.
speaking of approved and changes and things coming, mm-hmm. with all the good news and the bad news, and, of course, the WWE Network, WWE, has officially announced that they will be changing their logo come August. So say goodbye to the Scratch logo, ladies and gentlemen. It's going away, and we are going for the ultra-hip, modern, and pointy network logo.
After what, 15 years, 16 years at this point, I think they'd be late 97, early 98. The Scratch logo, the Attitude Era logo with the WWF. And now WWE part of it, yeah, it's going away. Stephanie McMahon announced it at the Business Partner Summit in New Orleans a couple weeks ago, and the video just made the round, so people are picking up on that story. So yeah, they're dropping the logo this summer, so be ready. And you could tell they've already started to migrate. It's all over NXT at this point. It's on the NXT Championship at this point, so you knew it was coming.
They probably announced August because they're going to have to reshape, I would imagine, the WWE Championship, seeing as that has the Scratch logo on it.
Right, and the best time to debut it? SummerSlam. You start marketing it there.
Hey, how about that?
It just works out that well, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, kind of convenient if you ask me.
Yeah.
Almost like it was planned.
Hmm.
Speaking of plans, just a couple quick notes. Eva Marie, or I should, not Eva Marie, Eve Torres, good lord. Well, Eva Marie did get married, but Eve Torres got married over the weekend.
Yes, yes, she did. She got married on Sunday to one of the Gracies, I think.
Renee Gracie.
So, good luck to them. Looks like they're off to the Maryland and maybe kids in the future.
Possibly. And also, as we noted last week, Brie and Brian successfully got married. We should see that wedding on Total Divas. But the picture's leaked, and oh my god, it looks like it's an absolutely adorable wedding.
yeah, it does. You had Claudio Castagnoli, a.k.a. Cesaro, was at the wedding. A lot of the entire cast of Total Divas was at the wedding. So, congratulations.
I still say Kane should have crashed.
He should have crashed. He should have. He would have, you know, he could have got in there, wedged himself in there between John and Eva Marie and just, you know, photobombed them. Been awesome.
Been totally awesome. We should also note that AJ Lee is taking some time off. She requested it after WrestleMania. And after she lost the title to Paige last week on Raw. She's taking a little bit of a breather and definitely well-earned after a almost 300-day title run. She probably needs a little bit of a break, so she's gone home. I think she's actually probably moving out of Tampa.
That's what I think it is. She's probably taking a couple weeks off to relocate and move. That's probably the deal. So, she'll be back really soon, probably.
Probably next week or week after next, but she's listed.
Yeah, she's listed on the roster as injured to be determined.
Well, CM Punk is listed as miscellaneous.
Yeah, but he's also listed under miscellaneous, but injured to be returned, which basically that's their injury reserve, like they have in football and baseball and stuff like that, where they just list them there just because they can.
Yeah. They have to account for all their talent, and he's no exception. So.
Right, because he's still technically under contract. But yeah, it's interesting. AJ Lee is taking time off. It opens up opportunities for other people to step up, and we'll talk about that later.
We will. And speaking of injured reserve, Darren Young was injured at a house show a couple weeks ago.
This weekend.
And it turns out that, well, sadly, he tore his ACL, and it looks like he's going to be out for 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, I believe he was in, that's where I'm looking for it currently. But yeah, he suffered the torn ACL. He was going to work through the injury right away, but then he went and saw the doctors, and it was like, yeah, no, you're going to get that fixed, because, yeah, you tore your ACL. Tearing your ACL is not good. So I'm surprised that that's a short time span, because it usually takes athletes a little bit longer, but probably 4 to 6 months was not a complete tear, but it was enough of a tear to require surgery at this point, so... Hopefully, Darren Young is able to recover very quickly and get back into the ring. Because, well, he came off the split with Titus O'Neil and hasn't really done much. So hopefully he can get his knee taken care of and be back on the road with WWE here in the next few months. It was early in the match with Fandango. He jumped off the apron for a double sledgehammer and his knee gave out.
Yeah.
The ref asked him if he could continue, but he couldn't get up and back in the ring, so he got counted out. And well, he had to be helped to the back.
Yeah. So best of luck to him in his recovery. ACLs, you never want to mess with. You know, so take as much time as you need to, because honestly, yeah, you don't want to play with that kind of thing.
You don't want to mess with ACLs, because yeah, that's the. It's a crucial ligament in your knee.
Yeah, you kind of need that.
You kind of need that one. So hopefully he gets it. He's had knee problems in the past, so they want to make sure he's all good and cleaned up. So
yeah, so best of luck to him in his recovery.
Yeah.
Should also be noted that, well, Vicky Guerrero is staying around, at least for the time being. We reported last week that she was wrapping up after WrestleMania, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Looks like she's sticking around for a little bit longer.
Yeah, she'll be around a little bit longer. Who knows how long, but She's denying reports that she's gone. She's staying, but we haven't seen her. She's been tweeting. I don't know if she's actually been with the company or not. So, we'll see. One thing I want to mention before we get into a really serious topic.
Right.
And this one has me. This one actually has me kind of curious and actually interested for the first time in a long time about this product. Ring of Honor. We don't really cover Ring of Honor on the program, but Ring of Honor has actually agreed to a deal to deliver live pay-per-views on traditional pay-per-view, not iPay-per-view. Traditional pay-per-view starting in June for Best in the World 2014, and they will be your traditional Sunday night 8 p.m. pay-per-views when they actually go live. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
So they're stepping into a spot where, you know, WWE may be leaving off, or, you know, TNA now has a new competitor for that monthly pay-per-view spot, since they don't do it monthly, so Ring of Honor can step in there and take some dates that TNA dropped off of. So, that's cool. The Best in the World 2014 will be on June 22nd, Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern from the Nashville Fairgrounds in Nashville, Tennessee.
Ooh, a nice home. I have fond memories of the Nashville Fairgrounds, so.
Might be an actual pay-per-view to actually check out. I'm kind of, it's got me intrigued, because, yeah.
Nope. Yeah, I would be curious to see it. If nothing else, to see the old fairgrounds, just for the nostalgia factor.
I try watching their iPay-per-views, and we all have known about their iPay-per-view failures, so hopefully, with a traditional pay-per-view, we'll be able to go off without a hitch, you would assume. So, and they'll be available in high definition as well, so.
Yeah. I hope so.
So, good luck to Ring of Honor, because they kind of need the luck.
Yeah. Best of luck to them. I hope it's very successful.
Yes.
And, well, we have to touch on it because we covered it last week, and obviously it is the biggest story still around. Warrior, as we all know, sadly passed away last Tuesday. It has been announced that the official cause of death is massive heart failure, and I think we all kind of saw this coming.
Yeah, when we found that report that he went down clutching his chest, kind of knew this is where things were headed.
Yeah, so very sad to say that that is the official cause of death. It should also be noted that his wife, Dana, sent out an absolutely wonderful and touching letter to the fans regarding the entire situation, and she thanked the fans, she thanked the WWE, she thanked everybody for their continued support. As things have progressed, she's kind of still in shock, obviously. Her children are obviously still in shock. So if you can, if you believe in it, you know, keep sending your prayers and your love and everything their way, because Lord knows they need it. She was particularly complimentary of WWE as far as they have really stepped in and helped them through the whole situation, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. WWE has been a big help to them, and thanks to WWE for taking care of the family in the time of need. But yeah, you can check out it on the Warrior Facebook page to hear all about the statement.
Yes.
That she released. To make it, there's no easy transition, but we're going to make a little bit of a transition now, Lindsay.
We are.
Yeah, into some quick TNA Impact Wrestling notes from this evening.
That's right, because stuff's happened.
This is our Impact Wrestling segment of the evening, our notes, news and notes from the segment from the show tonight, brought to you as always by TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And there's a few things that sort of happened this week. One, Dixie Carter claimed that she made it possible and made it, you know, fashionable for people to wear beards on television. She's responsible for bringing beards to television. No, Dixie. No. Was not you.
And yeah, sorry, Dixie, but no.
And the entire time she was pulling on EY's beard.
I'm pretty sure ODB did not like.
ODB probably did not like that one. They did bring up the Don't Fire Error campaign from about 8 years ago, and she even did the points. So that was kind of funny. the big story coming out of it, out of Impact tonight, was the fact that our main event on the show was Abyss versus Eric Young in a Monsters Ball match for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Eric Young was able to successfully retain his championship in a brutal match with Abyss, and you don't expect nothing less between the two, especially when it is Monsters Ball.
Yes, and it was a pretty vicious Monsters Ball.
Yeah, it was. Willow took on Rockstar Spud in EC3. The note from this match, Kurt Angle made his return after being out for a month or so with knee injuries. Came back, made the save, went after EC3 and cut a promo on him. So looks like we're back to the EC3 Kurt Angle feud between the two. That's basically your high points from the show. We also had a tag team title match. The Wolves defeated the Bromance by disqualification. So looks like we will be seeing more of them in the coming weeks, probably at Sacrifice, which is in 2 weeks, I believe.
Well, actually, Sacrifice is next week.
Well, 10 days, then.
10 days, and we should go ahead and announce we're not going to be doing a full show next week. We'll probably end up doing a Sacrifice preview, but I am graduating from college next week, so...
Yeah, so we won't be live next week, but we'll have a podcast version of the show for you covering TNA Sacrifice. And on that show, Lindsay, there's been 3 matches announced so far.
There have?
Tables match, Bully Ray and Bobby Roode.
Ooh.
I Quit match, James Storm versus Gunner. And Madison Rayne defends the title against Angelina Love.
Ah. Well, hopefully we get a little bit more to talk about, but if not, well, we can talk about other things, including the request to discuss Legends House, so we'll have to see if we can work that in.
You demand full-length quality shows. Guess what? You're going to get... We're doing a show... I'm going to say it now. You're going to get a Legends House podcast this week from us reviewing episode 1. You're going to get Total Divas, and you're getting The Rack. How about that?
And the Raw Post Show.
And the Raw Post Show. So, deal with it. Okay?
Yeah. Dude, I will be sober. Okay? You're going to see all these fine, upstanding morons graduating from college, and then you're going to see me on the ground because I won't be conscious.
Yeah, she's going to be doing yes, yes, yes.
Yes, across the stage. I am going to do the yes points, or I'm going to try to do the yes points if I have the nerve to do it. I probably will because at this point I don't really care. So it's going to be yes, yes, yes. And then I'm going to go party.
Like it's 1999.
Oh, heck yeah.
But yeah, that's our TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling recap this week. Just do the high points, brought to you by TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. We'll get back into fully reviewing shows here in a couple weeks. But with so much news, we had to sacrifice a little bit. So that's what happened. So there you go. There's your Impact Wrestling recap, brought to you again by TNAsylum.com.
Yep. So on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening.
Let's do it.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT and what happened, and of course, you know, what Bo Dallas did because, well, he was on the show, and of course, he sent me the giggle fits. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Come inside, take off your coat, I'll make you feel at home. Now let's pour a glass of wine, cause now we're all alone. I've been waiting for mine, so just let me hold you close.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years... Finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
Don't do this, Brock!
and the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Law Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widow Peak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Yo, Vanilla, kick it one time, boy!
Oh yeah! Gotcha, gotcha! Yep, yep!
fingers and swing this. Now rock the crowd and get a pump. This go ice. Everybody is saying.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesday. See, I got it right.
There you go. It's Throwback Thursday, and we're playing some Vanilla Ice.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. So, we're going to jump right into TNA Impact. Or not Impact. NXT. Yes! I'm sorry. I'm still trying to get used to the format. Again, it is not this show unless I screw everything up.
She's having some awkward moments this evening.
I have awkward moments every show. Don't excuse it.
So yeah.
I am the Scott Steiner of this network. I fully acknowledge and admit it. But at least I am not Sid Vicious.
Yes, thankfully, you're not Sid Vicious. This is NXT recap brought to you by GoNHLGo.com. Check it out now. GoNHLGo.com/forum. Sign up now. Talk about the NHL playoffs.
Eh? Sorry, I'm not a.
Hey, fan, I gave him a free plug, so. Next one will cost 99 cents.
Oh, you're such a shameless shill.
I know. That way I could pay for the money it would cost to call the hotline. But we'll get to the hotline.
Yes. We'll get to the hotline. So let's talk all about tonight's NXT, which opened with Big Cass taking on Aiden English.
First, we should mention that William Regal gave Aiden English a standing ovation.
William Regal has the biggest crush on Aiden English. It's almost as big as his love for Renee, but not quite as much. We should also note, Renee and William Regal were on commentary for the whole show.
Which was tremendous.
This needs to happen every week.
It really does. Renee Young needs to stay with WWE. There's been reports that ESPN may be looking after her. Stay, Renee.
Don't leave us!
Don't leave.
We love you!
Don't leave.
You're, like, the coolest female commentator they've ever had. I'm pretty sure you're the only legit one they've ever had. So please don't leave!
Yeah, don't leave. Just don't leave.
We'll give you cookies!
I gave you cookies!
There you go.
There you go.
If she leaves, we're totally playing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Big Cass versus Aiden English. This was a solid match.
Solid match. Colin had the early advantage, and they just went after each other's chest basically throughout this entire matchup. It looked like Colin was going to get the victory a couple times as he tried to do a swinging slam of some sort a couple times. Aiden tried a director's cut at one point. That got countered. He went for the swinging slam again, but Aiden English was able to get out of it and rolled him up with a handful of tights for the victory. And we should note, William Regal mentioned that probably the elastic gave out on the tights of Colin Cassidy, which is why it looked like he was grabbing the tights. They just gave out. The elastic gave out. That's all.
Yeah, that's way more of Colin Cassidy than I ever needed to see. Thank you. They almost had to censor that.
Almost did. But it was a solid matchup between the two. Nice opener for the evening. Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I thought just the way the matchup was going, I thought Cassidy was going to take the win. But I was surprised. And English pulled it out.
English pulled it out, and I think they're trying to establish English as your next secondary heel, maybe. Especially with several people going up to the main roster here in the near future. Namely, your top heel in Bo Dallas. So, or one of your top heels, I should say. So they're trying to rebuild and build those next set of people to go up and get them strong. So I think Aiden English is one of those people.
Probably. I'm looking forward to seeing more of Aiden English. I only see him a few times, so I want to see more. And his singing is tremendous.
He has a great voice.
He does.
He really does. But yes, so after this, we cut to the backstage where Devin Taylor is with Tyler Breeze. he doesn't like the way she introduces him, so he puts his phone in front of her face and makes her read some flattering things about him.
Yeah, read this. Read all the compliments. Can you?
Yeah, and then, you know, she's like, you wanted to address the NXT universe, what'd you have to say? And he's like, no, I just felt like, you know, the show needed something gorgeous. I'm good.
All right. Solid stuff. Nice to get Tyler Breeze. I like that they keep getting him on the show every week. It's establishing him as a star.
I like Tyler Breeze. I don't know how far the gimmick is going to go, but I like the gimmick.
He's playing it up.
How he plays it up.
He's playing it up very well.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. So we come back from commercial break, and, you know, basically they're talking about Paige and how she won the Divas title last week, so she is now a double champion. We then get a fantastic promo from her after Raw, where basically she puts everybody on notice.
Yeah,
she is the queen bee.
Yeah, she talked about this whole thing being a mind-blowing experience. She talked, you know, how the girls hugged her and then, you know, started, you know, whispering about her that she could hear everything because, well, they were wearing microphones. She talked about Charlotte and Sasha. She talked about AJ Lee. And basically she said she studied everyone on both rosters and she won't get comfortable and she's ready for this challenge because she's the top dog in the company, in the far as the Divas division in both companies right now.
So, ladies, you're on notice. Just, you know, pointing that out.
I liked her promo. She had a lot of confidence. That felt more like Paige from what we've seen than the promo she did with Renee on the pre-show a couple weeks ago, last week on the, WWE pre-show before Raw. She has more confidence now.
Which, I agree with that. I completely agree with that.
Which is good.
And which is good, which is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So, after this, we see Camacho taking on a debuting Oliver Gray.
More of a returning as a single star. He apparently was the tag team partner of Neville before he got injured. He screwed up his MCL. So he's been out of action, as you can tell by the big knee brace he was wearing. Gray tried out wrestling Camacho early in the match, but Camacho was using his power and used it well on Oliver Gray. The announcers made mention, and they tried to drive this point home, that Camacho was sending a message to, you know, the Rosebuds and especially Adam Rose. So it looks like we're going to get Adam Rose against Camacho down the line, because Camacho lost to Adam Rose a few weeks ago, and he's not happy about it.
Nope.
Camacho won with a running Samoan drop. Nice finish. Camacho gets the win. I'm surprised they're pushing Camacho a little bit, but if it's to elevate Adam Rose, I'm okay with this.
Yes.
But yeah, solid stuff. I like that the announcers were piping up the feud, even though Adam Rose was not on the program. So it was nice pushing the feud. They're finally developing a few feuds now on NXT, which is good. I'm liking this. So that was a nice touch by the announcers.
Yeah, very nice touch. I like how they're starting to build things and grow things, and we're seeing the storylines begin to develop, which is very nice. And speaking of developing, we go back to the backstage with Devin Taylor, who is joined by the leader of the Bo Movement, Bo Dallas. I wish to God we had audio of this, because basically they were talking about how his Bo Movement failed last week, and, you know, he says that, well, his Bo Leavers, they're law-abiding citizens, and they didn't want to get in trouble, but his hotline has been ringing off the hook. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Bo Dallas has a hotline. 1-800-BO-LEAVE for free cookies.
Again.
I gave you cookies!
That's going to be a running thing.
Yeah, Bo was all. The Bo Movement won't die because you don't stop Bo leaving.
Nope. And he stands there all cheesy. Devin's really awkward. She doesn't quite know what to do. And then they go to the next segment. It was just this, like,
cheesy as cheesy can be with Bo Dallas, and that's what you expect from Bo, and what's going to come with Bo is he's going to be very, very cheesy. And not everyone's going to like it, but we like it, and for this show, that's what counts.
I don't understand why I laugh at it, but he just sends me into massive giggle fits. I find him hilarious, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but God, I'm going to enjoy the hell of it out of it while it does. He entertains me so well.
Don't stop believing.
Don't stop believing, man, even though he is creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are then joined by the NXT Tag Team Champions, The Ascension, where they are taking on Wesley Blake and Cal Bishop.
Pure domination is the only note I wrote down.
Yeah, I really wish that we get a tag team for Victor and Connor to face.
And we may get that, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, they need a team. They need a feud.
They do. And, you know, whether it's you have the Shield come down, whether you have the Wyatt family come down, whether you have the Usos, you know, you start bringing guys down from the main roster to face the Ascension. We saw later in the show, which we're getting ready to talk about, how they're starting to build other tag teams. But, you know, until then, I really want to see what the Ascension can do with a legit tag team as opposed to seeing squash matches. Because supposedly they're supposed to be really good, but you really don't see that because they're just constantly squashing people.
Yeah.
So I would like to see them actually in a legit match with a credible team to see what they can actually do.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
And after this, we see the BFFs backstage where Charlotte says that, well, Sasha being the leader was an epic fail, to which Sasha takes exception. And she says that, you know, basically, it's time for somebody with a little flair.
To
get
be,
it?
Get it?
To take in, over
and
the charge. Leadership role. Charlotte says that she's going to take down every diva in the division, and next week the BFFs will take on Emma and a partner of her choice.
But Emma has no friends.
Oh, Emma has friends.
Does she now? That's not what they said. They said Emma has no friends.
Emma has friends, y'all.
Should be fun. Another DFS tag match next week. That should be fun.
That should be fun. And I'm liking the tension between Charlotte and Sasha Banks, so will we see a split between them? We'll have to see.
We'll have to see, but you could see Charlotte's improving, and she's very confident about who
yes.
she is.
After this, we have the Moonchild, CJ Parker, in the ring. He grabs a mic and says that, you know, he tries to sleep at night, but he just lays in bed and stares at the ceiling. He wonders what the world would be like with no NXT universe. He says that it would be a place that he would be proud to call home. There would be no litter in his street, no animals in his zoos. He says that everything would be fuel efficient. He asks how everyone could boo him when he's the one who cares. But he, you know, before he can continue, he's cut off because, oh yeah, he has a match with the Great Khali. And it's next!
Alright, this one is simple to recap, alright? Chops, 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 owie, 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 chops, chops, owie, owie.
Yeah, Khali recycled CJ Parker's chest.
Pretty much, Khali dominated CJ Parker. Parker tried to come back, but could not do it. Got laid out with the double chokeslam bomb. Khali, the Great Khali, won a match.
So stunned. Not really. This was, I mean, Khali was dominant. Parker sold like a champ.
He did.
It was a good promo beforehand.
Still not buying into him completely, but we'll see.
It's kind of, yeah, it's just there's something. It's almost a better face gimmick than it is a heel gimmick, honestly. Like, he just, I don't know what it is. I think he almost needs to be a little bit more self-righteous to be.
He talks about recycling. Do some vignettes with the recycling gimmick. Do, you know, get up when fans, you know, they're holding a plastic bottle and make sure they recycle it. And do some things like that if they want to really push that. Push the gimmick harder. That's if you're going to do it, go full out.
Yeah, go for it.
So there, Khali wins.
Yay, Khali. After this, we go to the back where we see Emma, and she says she's not found a tag team partner. Or has she? Mwahaha. We then see Sami Zayn. Sami says he's feeling fine. You know, he understands he has to be protected, and he won't question the ref's decision, but he says that, you know, basically, he thinks the ref was a little wrong, and he could have continued, he could have won, but the ref caught him. And so he says that he's looking forward to next week when he tags with the Usos to take on Corey Graves and the Ascension. So here we go. We were saying bring a credible tag team down. Who's more credible than the tag team champions?
That works.
Totally okay with that. And he says that, you know, things have gotten really personal with Graves because, well, he just doesn't like him. He says that Graves needs to be put in his place and Sami Zayn's going to be the one to do it. So, looking forward to that. That should be good.
Should be good. Should be good. A good main event next week on the show.
We then go back to the ring where Jason Jordan and Ty Dillinger take on Baron Corbin and Sawyer Fulton.
It seems like they're building Jason Jordan and Ty Dillinger as a tag team, apparently. At least that's how they were hyping them up. A couple things I noticed. Fulton has a unique look to him, especially his outfit was a little bit unique. There was an impressive suplex by Baron Corbin that reminded me shades of Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog, as he held him up for a very, very long time, which was very impressive.
Which one was the one with the chest tattoo? Because I liked him. Was that Corbin?
Probably, because the other guy had the singlet.
Yeah. Corbin was impressive.
Corbin was impressive. Jason Jordan, or a.k.a. JJ, got the hat tag and started making his comeback for his team. Lots of clotheslines, lots of drop kicks, a combination with the guy on the shoulder, and they drop it into a DDT for the combination finish for Jason Jordan and Ty Dillinger as they make their debut on NXT television as a tag team for the victory.
So, could we see some challengers for the Ascension being built?
You would hope so.
You really would, at this point.
At this point, we've been covering this show for about 2 months, and we've not seen them really in a competitive tag team match, except for Arrival, so. Let's get on it. Competitive tag team division, that's what counts.
And even that was a little bit of a squash.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway, we are back from commercial break for your main event of the evening, where Adrian Neville took on Brodus Clay in a pretty good match.
Alright, yeah, Brodus was overpowering for a lot of the match. He used his size and his strength to over Neville. Neville made a comeback a few times, but always got cut off. For Neville's comeback, he used a lot of kicks and his speed to his advantage. Neville went for the red arrow, Brodus move, and then got taken out with the running headbutt. He rolled to the outside. Brodus slammed into the on the outside, went for an elbow drop off the ring step, missed, crashed and burned, hit the floor hard. Both men were down, but Neville got in the ring before the 10 count for the victory. So, Neville wins by count. Alright, I got a problem with this. They should not be in the ring together. They should not be in the ring together. It does not make Neville look like a credible champion in the ring with Brodus Clay. I'm sorry. Too much of a size difference. Neville looks really small, doesn't look like a champion in the ring, and he spent a lot of the time on his back, and it was not good. Neville needs, if you're going to make Neville your champion, he needs to look more impressive and shouldn't be fighting a guy like Brodus Clay. I'm sorry, it just rubbed me the wrong way tonight.
Yeah, Neville's one of those guys that, yeah, it's, and I'm not trying to discount his size, because he's a fantastic wrestler. But yeah, you know, it's something of, if you want him to look credible, you want him to be taken seriously, having him get his butt beat for most of the match, yeah, no. Just really, truly, no.
Just doesn't work. It didn't work for me. Neville needs a guy his size, or, you know, not even his size, but someone who isn't Brodus Clay.
Yeah, or at the very least, you have Neville get the upper hand on Brodus Clay.
Right. And the cheap win didn't do anything for him, and there shouldn't really be a rematch since he's already won, and Brodus couldn't win, so.
Yeah, but to be fair, Brodus didn't get pinned. He won by countout, which is, again, a cheap victory, so to satisfy honor, Brodus should get, technically, another rematch.
I suppose.
Technically.
I suppose.
But whether that happens or not, I don't know, but yeah. It was kind of one of those things where it was a good match. You had Brodus. I think they're doing everything they can, honestly, to try and make Brodus look dominant and try to build Brodus. Because they're in the process of repackaging Brodus, and they're using NXT to do that before they bring him back up to the main roster.
Which is fine. Which is fine. I think it's a bad mix for Neville. Especially right out of the gates after winning the championship. If it was into his reign, that's one thing. But this is just the beginning for him. He needs, you know, could have used a couple more competitive title matches with some other talent before moving on to Brodus.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. But overall, very solid, very enjoyable show. Looking forward to next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Big six man, big Divas tag. Should be fun.
So on that note, I think we take our second break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about, well, Tweet of the Week, our question of the night, which is, of course, who would you like to see Bray Wyatt face off against John Cena? And, well, the future is now in WWE. So we're going to get all into that right here on the rack on WildTalkRadio.com.
Here we are.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a good thing or something. Techno gangway. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's a horseshoe, Rob. That's a horseshoe.
Oh, Gundam style.
Not the pelvic thrust.
What, Mr. Sulu in the sky?
Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. Oh, wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know, the show hasn't gone anywhere, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
I'm Santi Dumarella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/mbg1211. He puts out videos every Wednesday, every Friday on different figures. Check them out. They're awesome. And now, I'm still working on the plug. Sorry, we just started this. Like, literally, he sprung it on me last night. So.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I sprung it on you yesterday. Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. I did. I sprung it on her. I told her to write it down, too.
I did write it down, and I've gotten it. I just didn't get it at the top of the show, but I've gotten every time since, so there!
There you go.
And on that note, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, Zeb Coulter, is Paige legal? Might have to check that out at JC Layfield. To which Big E replied, like of age, you dirty dog.
Hashtag old man.
Thank you, Big E, for saying what we were all thinking. At WWE Creative-ish, a Superman punch to Guardians of the Galaxy star Dave Bautista. Marvel is going to be pissed. Kane, the time has come to stop wearing this mask and come home. Whatever could he mean?
I have no idea.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Wow, and I thought I didn't have many. Anyway, Chris Sabin. Huge news, people. My phone still works after I dropped it into the toilet.
Dude, that's awesome.
I know, right? That is huge news. Why'd you drop it in the toilet?
Because he was probably doing something on it. Well, never mind. Just go on. It's better not to ask questions, okay? Just keep going.
Alright, Judah Freelander. Can't believe the hotel charged me a flushing tax for the using the bathroom. That's not cool. It's not cool. Fandango. One and oh with Miss Layla. One more and that's two in a row. One more after that and that's a winning streak. Hashtag heater. Summer Rae replied, look, you can count. So proud. That'll definitely help when you're counting all those breakup pounds you're going to gain. Hashtag carbs. Betty frickin' White. Men, try stimulating your woman's flight attendant call button. Hashtag U.S. Airways sex tips. If you haven't heard that U.S. Airways story, it's kind of awesome. Someone tweeted Al Snow, Jannetty just found out he was a dad. Better him than Leif Cassidy. Al Snow replied, LOL. Phew. No kidding. LOL. Betty frickin' White. Are all tweets tax deductible or just the ones with hashtags? Jessica Havoc. My head hurts because of you at Perez Ninja. What were you thinking? This is far from over. You hit me in the head with a wrench. Hashtag dead. And finally, Jonathan Papelblown. Those guys went down quicker than a hooker. Yes, the Braves went down quicker than a hooker today. 1, 2, 3. Bam! Tweet of the week.
All right. Well, do you want to do question of the night first, or do you want to kind of get into the other discussion?
Oh, I like how you didn't bring up that the fact the Braves lost today.
Because they still won the series.
They lost today.
Yes, they did.
Yesterday.
And Philly should be very proud, but the Braves still won the series.
So there you go. Anyway, let's go to question night first.
All right, well, who would you like to see Bray Wyatt face off against after John Cena?
The few responses were Daniel Bryan. One person said Dean Ambrose. And someone said Kane.
I swear to God, those weren't me. None of those were me.
But those were the collective responses from the fans who tweet us and Facebook us and email us and that sort of thing. And Tumblr as well. So what about you? Who would you like to see John Cena face next?
John Cena or Bray Wyatt?
Bray Wyatt, I should mean. Bray Wyatt.
You know, honestly, I would really love to see them go back to the Shield and the Wyatts. I would love to see them do a full-blown feud with those groups. I know they've already done the match on pay-per-view, and it doesn't have the money value. But I think, especially if you did, like, Wyatt versus Ambrose, you could get something really, really phenomenally good out of that. And I also would say Wyatt Kane. I'm one of the very few people that needs this just because it appeals to my nature like that, but...
She needs closure.
I need closure, damn it. You know, they did the storyline between Bray and Kane when Bray debuted, and Bray and Kane face off in this Inferno match. The Wyatt family beat down Kane, and they drag him off, right? And he's gone for 3 months. And obviously we all know where he actually was. He was shooting a movie. But in storyline sense, we don't know where Kane was.
No.
We have no idea what happened to him. And then he comes back, and he goes corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And while he's gone, there's really no mention of where he is. Nobody is concerned that a known sociopath has been kidnapped by another one. And God only knows what's going on there. You know, especially since Kane has a penchant to light things on fire. You know, nobody, especially the authority, is the least bit concerned about this. And so it's something of, okay, And then Kane comes back and he joins the Authority and he becomes Corporate Kane. And he becomes a completely different person. And obviously you could tie that into what Bray Wyatt did to him. But we have never heard either from Bray Wyatt beyond Kane made his bed and now he's burning in it, or from Kane himself, what actually happened after the match. Did the Wyatts take him back to the compound? Did they let him go? What did they do to him? Because presumably Bray Wyatt is the reason why Kane went corporate.
That's what we're led to believe, yes.
Yes. I would also like to see them return to Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt at some point, not right away. Maybe further down the line. I'd like to see that feud just because I'd also like to see Bryan talk about his experience. Like, that's the thing. I think with Kane and with Bryan, you could do a lot of character development for the Wyatt family. Because you could actually talk about what they saw, potentially, at the compound. Because we know Bryan went back with them. We know Bryan was with them for sure. So you could do a lot of character development in a storyline with Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt as far as what happened in that 2-week period that Daniel Bryan was a Wyatt.
And what doesn't help her need for closure? I should throw this out there that she sees pictures of them teaming together. And it makes her want more of the story, like yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something of... You have to wonder, is Kane working for the Wyatts? Is he on Bray Wyatt's side? Because there's interesting things that kind of line up that I know that aren't intentional, that are kind of coincidental. But still, it's like you have Kane, Locke, Bray Wyatt, and Daniel Bryan in a cage together to face the Usos. When, you know, in all reality, I think Kane was partially expecting Bray Wyatt to beat the crap out of Daniel Bryan.
Right.
You know, and it's at Elimination Chamber when Bray Wyatt takes out John Cena and Kane yells at him, that's all that happens. There's a little bit of a confrontation, but not much.
Right.
And Bray just kind of walks away and Kane sort of backs down a little bit from it.
They seem to have a mutual respect for one another at this point.
Yeah, so it's something of what happened that caused that. We don't know.
Right.
And like I said, that would just be, I think, to me, a very interesting story to tell, because you could do another layer to Kane. You could develop Bray Wyatt more. So at some point, I would like to see Bray versus Kane. But I think, the better feud would be the Shield versus the Wyatts, too. When you actually do a full-blown feud, where you build it into something, not just we're going to see who's the better team, which is what the story was at Chamber, because literally they didn't really have anything for Shield to do, they didn't have anything for the Wyatt family to do, so it's like, here, everybody wants to see it, let's have them fight.
Yeah, and that would sort of be the logical way to do things, because the score right now is 2-1 in favor of the Wyatts, if you're keeping track at home, because the Wyatts did lose to the Shield on Main Event on the WWE Network a week or so ago. So, 2-1 in favor of the Wyatts. Yeah, I'm with you. The Shield would be my next option. I kind of sort of laid that out to you a few weeks ago. That I sort of, after you go through John Cena, you should do the Shield a little bit more. Because there's a lot to build from at that point. But just with the Shield going in the direction of evolution, I don't know if for the Wyatts, I don't know if Wyatt's Shield would be the best thing right out of the game after evolution. So I may hold off on that. Kane, as you broke down, would be an interesting one. I'd like to see someone new who doesn't have a tie to them, but that's kind of, that's hard to do, maybe. Since Bray Wyatt's all about bringing the monster out of somebody, and there's been teases of it as of late for Sheamus, I wouldn't mind seeing the Wyatts try to bring the monster side out of Sheamus. Maybe that's how his heel turn begins, after the monster side finally comes out of him. I wouldn't mind seeing Bray Wyatt versus Sheamus. I think that could be a unique matchup.
That could be either really good or really bad.
It could be one or the other, but I have a feeling it could be good.
You would honestly, the way you'd have to play it is you'd have to have Sheamus play it up more serious and not be the comical Sheamus that we're seeing. I think that would be probably the best way to do that. But yeah, I don't know about that. I'd almost... It's a shame that they're both heel, but that doesn't really mean much. I'd almost like to see Wyatt go after Orton.
I think at some point. I don't think that's the next feud, but I think that's a feud down the line. Because I think they could do some interesting things together at some point. Again, when Bray Wyatt talks about legacies, and, well, who was the leader of Legacy?
Randy Orton. Well, and you also, you know, Randy Orton, third generation star, multi-time WWE champion. You know, he has quite a list of credentials to his name.
All that potential in the world Randy Orton has.
Yes, and it's wasted. So you could tell a interesting story, but yeah, it's. I think honestly, you kind of need to have, because you've been pushing Bray very strong, but I'd like to see them start pushing the family again, because they sort of backed off of Rowan and Harper a little bit, and so I'd like to see maybe Bray kind of step back, because he's pretty much established at this stage, and they have you push Rowan and Harper a little bit harder. And start to establish them and establish the family as a whole, as a dominant force, not just Bray Wyatt.
That would be interesting. I don't know who you would establish them against, because the way to establish them would the next thing, logical step if you're trying to establish them as a dominant force, especially as just a duo, is gold, and I don't think they're ready for that yet.
No. But here's an interesting thought. Wyatt's versus Evolution. You want to talk about a 180 of each other?
Maybe one night. I don't know if that's the right move yet.
Oh, it's not the right move yet, but just think about that match.
Oh, that would
it's
be...
It's totally never going to happen, but think about that match.
It would be intriguing, but I'm not sure the story... I don't know if the story would match yet.
Just like, you know, honestly, I'd love to see Bray Wyatt go after Taker, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, his thing's broken.
Yeah, his thing is broken, so Taker's gone away for again, and we'll probably never see him again, but yeah. Ultimate Fantasy match, Bray Wyatt versus Taker. That would be cool. I mean, you want to talk about Bray Wyatt taking out the mother of all false idols? There you go.
Bray Wyatt versus Sting.
Doesn't do anything for me. But then again, I'm not a Sting fan, so...
Oh, I know. Just throwing that one out there.
Yeah, so... But speaking of Bray Wyatt...
Mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt is a part of course, this upcoming generation that we're seeing with The Shield, Rowan and Harper, Bo Dallas is on his way up, Adam Rose is on his way up, and we're seeing really, you know, Paige also, how could I possibly forget Paige, and we're starting to see... the change in the roster, and we're seeing really the evolution of the WWE roster once again, where the old guard is taking a step back, despite some people saying they're not, and the new guard coming in, and you're going to see that next set of stars that take you through the next several years. And if you look at it, they've really done a tremendous job lately of pushing their younger talent and their younger stars. Think about how they've made Daniel Bryan since SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
They're making Bray Wyatt. They're making The Shield. They're starting to make Paige.
That whole veteran group that dominated the WWE for years sort of isn't there. You have a few guys, but a lot of the roster is young, or not young. Some of them are young, but some of them are just new to the roster. And that you've seen them transition from guys they've given chances to, like Dolph Ziggler and The Miz, and they've sort of been pushed to the back a little bit, and allowing guys like The Shield, like Daniel Bryan, to be elevated into a position to succeed. You guys got Big Show and Alberto Del Rio. They're on the back burner again, because they had their chances. Big Show has been around since 1996, 1999, WWE. His time is not done, and he's now around to elevate talent. You guys got, like, Big E. You got Cesaro getting a monster push now because he's with Paul Heyman, who will do wonders for him. And I mean absolute wonders. And it's something where WWE has done a great job of doing that whole transition period. And it all started when you brought in The Rock. The Rock was there to... allowed WWE to bring up talent underneath. He helped establish the main event scene and allowed talent to be brought up. And it slowly has, because when The Rock came around, you sort of then started bringing up other talents like The Shield. Then you brought up Bray Wyatt. They were able to play background roles while he took the main event scene. Then you brought back Batista. He's part of the main event scene. But what has Batista done since he's come back, besides, you know, get turning heel? He's helped elevate Daniel Bryan. Really, he has. Everyone came in thinking Batista was about himself, but he's done a great job of putting Daniel Bryan over, especially in the last few weeks. Randy Orton, who has been given, who people complain about a lot, and I mean a lot. People have not a lot of good things to say about Randy Orton. He's done a great job of being the heel force against Daniel Bryan in the last 6 months. Same with Triple H. Triple H has done wonders. Wonders for Daniel Bryan since SummerSlam.
Oh, completely agree with that. They've been the perfect foils for him to go against, and then you add the little extra nice touch of Stephanie McMahon, and it was perfect. I mean, they did, like I said, they did in the last 6 months, I don't know how much of it was long-term and how much of it was convenience, but they saw the opportunity in Daniel Bryan, and they ran with it. And they've continued to run with it, and they gave him finally that moment at WrestleMania, and I think it's something of, there for a long while, WWE decided who they wanted the next guy to be. And they didn't necessarily listen to their fan base as far as who they wanted. So a lot of guys and girls got pushed to the wayside because it's not what WWE wanted. And it's like, by God, you will like this person, or, you know, that's it. Well, now it's something of, you're starting to see the fans really deciding who they want again. And that's why you're seeing, I think, guys like The Shield and guys like Daniel Bryan especially getting pushed.
And what they've done is, if they not only have they used the veterans, but they've let each other elevate themselves. Let's think about it. Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan elevated themselves at the Royal Rumble.
Oh yeah.
Because they were given the freedom to have a tremendous, tremendous match at the Royal Rumble. But Wyatt and The Shield had a great match at Elimination Chamber and elevated themselves. And you just, if you think about it, since The Shield came in, one of their biggest rivals has been Daniel Bryan, and just the use of Daniel Bryan with The Shield elevated both sides. And love him or hate him, Kane has played a big part in it, because especially with Team Hell No, he helped, you know, Daniel Bryan was at a position. Kane kept Daniel Bryan's rise continuing, even though he was in the tag team. Every single week, for 6 months in last year, they had the one of the best matches on the show, especially with The Shield. And now we've seen The Shield elevate, and they've ran with the ball. Now they have another, they've turned to the good side of Injustice and fighting for that, and now they're in a position to succeed again. And at the pay-per-view, in the main event, let's get this correctly, The Shield's in the main event against Triple H, Batista, and Randy Orton, aka Evolution. Think about that one. They're in the main event with Hunter, Orton, and Batista.
That's pretty huge.
Now there'll be a bunch of people, all the critics, all the fans going, why isn't Daniel Bryan in the main event? Doesn't need to be in the main event. He doesn't need it. He's over. He's the WWE champion. But I've already seen it, and I know we're going to hear it, and we're going to see it from people going, I can't believe Daniel Bryan was in the semi-main event. I can't believe he didn't close out the show. Well, guess what? Deal with it. Evolution versus The Shield is a huge matchup that needs to be focused on. Will Daniel Bryan still get his spot on television? Hell yeah, he will. He'll still be over. Hell yeah. He's feuding with Kane, his tag team partner for a year. They're going to finally close that story, because think about it. When they broke up, there was no closure. There wasn't. There wasn't, and they've had a couple matches since he became Corporate Kane. But that's not who he was partners with. He was partners with Kane, the guy with long hair. Kane has long hair again. Amazing how that happens. Throw a mask on. Comes with hair. Comes with hair. So it'll be interesting to see the dynamic between the two. And they'll have a good match. Won't be the match of the night because the Shield will have that at the pay-per-view. But they're going to throw all the bells and whistles. And Kane and Daniel Bryan will have a great title match at Extreme Rules. I guarantee it. People will remember the match for a while. It'll be good. And they'll be elevating Daniel Bryan. Because if you think about it, even with the evolution of the talent, there's no need to put someone in there with Daniel Bryan and kill that person's momentum. I've seen a lot of people talk about Cesaro, right? People are high on Cesaro. But it was not the time to go with Cesaro and Daniel Bryan. Why? Because if you have Cesaro lose, his momentum is dead. And that's one thing WWE has done forever. And that's cut people's momentum off. Right now, they're letting momentum build. And that's the one thing that gets people over. If you don't cut people's legs out, they're able to succeed. And that's awesome to watch.
I would agree with that, yeah. I mean, the thing about it is this. If you're telling the story, the natural progression of the story is this. Daniel Bryan overcomes the authority. He has the fairy tale moment of winning the title at WrestleMania. Yay, everybody is happy. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes off and he gets married. He marries the love of his life. He wins the WWE title. He's bought a house. You know, Daniel Bryan is good. He's happy right now. But he still has the problem in the authority. And you now have the Shield changing sides, and they're backing Daniel Bryan up. So here's the problem. In the past, Daniel Bryan has not had anybody backing him, so he's been easy pickings for the authority. Now, that's not so much.
Nope.
So how do you make Daniel Bryan easy pickings again? You get rid of the people defending him, and that includes the Shield. And Hunter's going to want payback for what the Shield did to him and Orton and Batista anyway. So you have that natural progression of having Orton and Hunter and Batista take on the Shield. Meanwhile, you back off of Daniel Bryan a little bit. You put him in a match with Kane to have Kane settle business for the authority, which Kane will obviously lose. And then you know what? They'll go right back to pushing Bryan again. They will.
And it's not like they're not pushing him. He's going to win. That's continuing the push. That's the thing. That's the thing people don't get. Oh my God, he's been moved down a level. He's still being pushed.
Yeah, and also you kind of have to look at it as this. Daniel Bryan has been off for a week. It's kind of like...
Yeah.
What, you know, here's the thing, okay? Daniel Bryan gets married the week after WrestleMania, so he's been off this whole week. He has. And so he's not a part of storylines. So, you know, obviously the natural idea or the natural match for Bryan at Extreme Rules is Bryan versus either Hunter, Orton, or Batista. We've seen Bryan and Orton 100 times. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to want to see it.
Nope, not yet. That needs
Bryan and Batista? Eh? Batista hasn't really earned anything to get it?
Right, and well, he did. He won the Rumble, but they'll do the match, and they'll be fine because especially since Batista's working back into shape. But you can't blow out the matches just yet.
No, I mean it's something of honestly. Actually, the natural match is Bryan versus Orton for the title because Orton gets his rematch. That
right.
would be the actual natural match, but you know nobody's going to want to see it. Nobody's going to want to do it.
Not yet. Give it a few months, then you can go back to it. And same with Batista. You can go to that match in a couple months. Daniel Bryan, Batista at SummerSlam, I'm okay with that. You want to do it at Money Bank? Fine. But give it some time.
Right.
That's what you sort of need to do. And I just love how everyone complained, you know, The Rock. He wasn't working house shows when WWE champion. Oh, wait, Daniel Bryan hasn't worked. He's not working an international tour. He's not working house shows. He's missing television. Where's the big uproar?
It's Daniel Bryan.
I know. I just find that funny. No one's making a big fuss about it. But anyway, that's beside the point. One of this whole conversation is WWE is doing a great job right now making people, and the whole thing I was mentioned, cutting off momentum. They have they cut off the Wyatt's momentum?
Nope.
Why are they over? Because they let them continue to elevate themselves and keep the momentum going. Have the Wyatt's lost? Yeah, they've lost a couple times. Bray Wyatt lost at WrestleMania. Has his momentum been killed? Nope.
He stumbled, but you know what? He's picked right back up where he left off, and I think everybody will honestly forget the loss at Mania if he manages to beat Cena at Extreme Rules, which, he, you know, God willing, he will do.
Right. If he wins at Extreme Rules, the momentum continues. And for Bray Wyatt, because as good as Bray Wyatt is, the ability to cut a promo continues the elevation.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt, he's been steadily improving in the ring. I'll be the first to admit, Bray Wyatt is not the most solid wrestler in the ring. But he's gotten tremendously better over the 8 or so months that he's been in the company, wrestling every week.
Right.
But his mic skills, good God almighty, his mic skills have gotten so much better.
And everyone is impressed with him. He impresses Paul Heyman, he impresses Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ric Flair, you name it, he's impressed. And that's what counts right now for Bray Wyatt. That's what elevates, that continues his momentum. But like I said, any good heel can recover any loss with one promo. Simple as that.
And he's done that. You know, it's something of, again, I don't think Bray Wyatt not in the physical sense he lost, but in the, I guess, metaphorical sense, I don't know how quite what the word would be, but he didn't really lose because he still brought the monster out of John Cena. He still proved that there is that side to John Cena.
He lost the match, didn't lose the war.
No. And so now the war is going to continue. They're going to go on to a cage match, and I'm excited for it.
I'm excited for the cage match. I'm liking the direction of things. I like that they're focusing on certain things. And you can see, even now, they finally have made a decision. The Intercontinental Championship is now the #2 championship.
Which we pretty much figured would happen. It would either be the IC title or the US title.
All right. I don't think we've talked about this on shows yet, have we? I don't think we have.
No, I don't think so.
All right, so here's a little bit on the soapbox about the U.S. title. Newsflash, people. If Dean Ambrose was in a U.S. title feud with a person, he wouldn't be in the awesome matches in the main events he's been in with the Wyatts and Evolution. He would probably be losing matches. But guess what? He's not in those feuds. He's in the main event. He's working with the top guys in the business. Don't complain about his title. He's defended it enough. But let's make it the running joke. Oh my God, I can't believe he hasn't defended the title since blah, blah, blah. And how many times has he defended the title? He's in great matches. Are you really going to complain? Just my point of view.
But you can't have it both ways. You can't.
No, but that's the thing. They want it. They want him to defend the title and want him in the spot. Guess what? Let him be in the spot he's in. The title.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Dean Ambrose has been in a feud with the Wyatt family. He's been in the feuds with John Cena, with Daniel Bryan, with half the WWE roster. Who really at this point, short of really Big E, who has a title of his own and doesn't really need the U.S. title, who on that roster is credible enough to face Dean Ambrose for that title? Who's even earned a shot at it?
You want to see a feud between Dean Ambrose and Kofi Kingston? You want to see a feud with Dean Ambrose and The Miz?
I mean, it's something of, as you said, Dean Ambrose has been busy.
A little bit.
And, you know, honestly, at least to me, more value goes on that title every time we see it, because he's visible every week. It's not like past U.S. champions, where they win the title and then we don't see them for 2 months.
Right.
That title is visible every week. We see it every week around Dean Ambrose's waist, as he's walking through the crowd, and he's going into a match with, you know, Triple H, or with John Cena, or with whoever. The title's not on the line, but it's there. And it's being given credibility because of who's holding it.
Right.
Because what does it say about Dean Ambrose that no credible challenger can be found for him?
Exactly. It's like Dean Ambrose isn't being pushed to the sidelines. He's featured every single week. That championship is featured. That's the whole point. Like Lindsay said, he's not the Wade Barrett Intercontinental title reign. He's not the Miz Intercontinental title reign where you sort of see them but you really don't. He's not wrestling the pre-show match for the title.
And the thing about it is as far as people, you know, whining and complaining and moaning about the fact that he hasn't defended it in 30 days and blah, 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 blah. You know what? The 30-day rule really only applies when they want it to apply. And also, I believe he actually does defend... No, he does. I know that for a fact because I saw him do it. He defends it on house shows. He does.
See? He does. And he defended it on Main Event a few weeks ago. And he defends it when he needs to.
He defends it when it's convenient for them to defend it, which is usually they put it on a house show, and he defends it every weekend on the house shows because they do something with Roman and Seth, or they had been, and then they have Dean do a singles match. But, you know, lately they've been feuding with the Wyatt family, so Dean has not been putting the title on the line. But it's something of, again, it's like he defends it when he needs to, and the rest of the time it's getting visibility on television, and it's being held by a credible individual, because guess what? The Shield are winning every week. Dean Ambrose is impressing people every week. He's not your typical U.S. champion in the fact that he's jobbing every week.
And that was the worry of some people when he won the championship, would he lose every week, because that was the standard for the title. And he really hasn't. The Shield doesn't lose. They've lost some, but they don't lose often. And when they do, it's an important loss.
Yeah. It means something when the Shield loses. And it's rare, but it happens. But yeah, people kind of need to get over Dean Ambrose not defending that title. Just like people kind of need to get over Paige winning the title.
Yeah, and it just shows there's the evolution of the roster right now. The growth that Dean Ambrose is champion.
Actually, it's funny because if you go to WWE.com and you look at the superstars page and you look at the list of champions, you see the turnover.
It's Daniel Bryan, it's Paige, it's Big E,
it's the Usos,
it's Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is you're seeing that evolution already begin in their choices of champions, and the fact that they have the confidence in these people to give them the titles with some of the status quo is still there is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And also, it's something of, they understand that at some point people are going to start to leave. They're going to start to retire and want to move on, and it's something of, I'm sure Cena at this point, you know, while he probably likes the limelight, he obviously wanted to go on and do other things. That's why he chose to do a feud with Bray Wyatt. He wanted something different.
John Cena wants new talent, and the only way to do that is to elevate and build momentum on talent. And that's why he's fighting with Bray Wyatt, because he sees it. He sees new talent. I have a feeling once he's done with Bray Wyatt, when a couple of them turn heel, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a John Cena and Dean Ambrose feud at some point.
Oh, that'd be good.
Trust me, that will probably come within the next year.
Oh, yeah. Because here's the thing, the question is, does Dean Ambrose drop that title while he's still with the Shield, or does he drop it afterwards? We don't know.
You never know. Guess what? Dean Ambrose may lose the U.S. title this week on Raw. You may see the evolution screw Dean Ambrose out of the title. You never know.
You never know. It's something of, Hunter has all the cards and he can do what he wants. But obviously they're trying to not only elevate the younger talent, but obviously elevate the lower titles as well.
Right. But they're doing a nice job with things. And I'm impressed. I'm liking the direction. I'm liking the elevation of the talent and the evolution of this roster, because it's not the same old that we saw every week. It's new talent, new faces, and especially with the likes of Adam Rose and Bo Dallas, it's going to make things a lot more interesting on television, because you're going to get new, fresh faces, and that's when WWE is at its best, when they give you fresh, new faces, especially ones that, well...
I gave you cookies!
It's going to be a thing.
It's definitely going to be a thing. But yeah, I'm excited to see Bo Dallas. I'm excited to see Adam Rose. Again, as we talked about with NXT with Rusev, I want to see some competitive matches with Rusev and see how he does. But the future is bright for WWE. They've done it. Triple H has done a great job retooling developmental, and his hard work is starting to pay off.
Yeah. And one thing that I really like is, you know, in addition to the turnover of the rosters, how many NXT people we are seeing come up. Because remember not too long ago, we rarely saw a developmental talent come up, and if they did, they didn't last very long. And now you're seeing quite a lot of developmental talent come up, especially in the last year, and there's clearly an investment being put into them. There's certainly still the sink or swim mentality, but there's something of they're at least investing their time and their money into trying and helping these guys to succeed.
Think about this. In the last year and a half, I'm not counting Rusev because he hasn't really done anything. You count Big E, right? The Shield,
right.
That's four. The Wyatt family, that's seven people right there. Just go on the male side, seven people.
Fandango,
that's eight.
Paige and Emma.
Go with AJ too, because she's new too. She's only been around 2 years.
Brad Maddox.
Look at all those fresh faces on your television. That's saying something.
I mean, there is the conscious effort to, like I said, they are in the process of flipping the roster.
They're not bringing everyone. They're not bringing like 30 people up. They brought up 8 people last year for the male side, and they all had prominent positions all year long.
It's something of, I think they're bringing the people that have really been in NXT for a while up. And, you know, short of Eva Marie is the exception to the rule because she got on Total Divas. But for the most part, all the talent that are coming up have been in NXT for at least 2 years, I believe.
At least a year.
I know Bo Dallas has been down there for forever. I know Bray Wyatt was down there for forever.
Right, and when they brought up, you know, the Nexus, they rushed them on the television, and we've seen it with Wade Barrett. It's taken him a while to get his legs back, and he sort of now started getting his legs back the last few weeks. So,
well, to be fair with Barrett, he got hurt. He had his legs back under him, and then he got hurt.
Yeah,
and then, that just killed his momentum.
Yeah, and then they gave him the title, and he was just floundering a little bit. They finally found something that sort of worked, and he's got his legs back underneath him, and that's good. And you're just, you know, even about back in 2010, you brought up Sheamus. So it's, and you've brought in a guy like Del Rio. You've changed the roster from what it was from what it was 5 years ago, and they've done a great job of it.
As I take a big drink of water, sorry. Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
So I'm looking forward to the future. The future is bright, as I say, for WWE.
Oh, completely. And we're going to see more and more people come up. I'm absolutely stoked to see Bo Dallas. Like I said, I don't know how much of a shelf life the gimmick has, but it will entertain the hell out of me in the meantime.
Yeah, speaking of Bo Dallas, Adam Rose as well is on his way up, and they actually have the Exotic Express as an actual bus.
I want to find it. I need to find it and get a picture of it before it goes away.
Yes, so.
But speaking of going away, I think that's it for tonight.
That's it for tonight, yeah.
So, all right, well, we have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Tomorrow afternoon is the Rack Extra Total Divas, as we'll be reviewing Season 2, Episode 4 of the Total Divas, which includes something where John Cena gets in hot water. Just point that out. Check out Rock Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com for that tomorrow afternoon. Coming sometime this weekend will probably be the Rack Extra Legends House, as we're going to sit down and review the show. like we do, so stay tuned to Facebook and Twitter for updates on that. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, and the Unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR, at CB Radio WTR, and Facebook.com/cigarettebutts and bandanas. On the show this Saturday, we'll review the MTV Movie Awards. We will see why one of the members of the Wu-Tang can't get it up any longer. And a whole lot more at CB Radio. Sunday night is WTR Sunday Night with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. They'll cover it all the week in Pro Wrestling. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night is the Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We will not be live next week. We will be in recorded fashion for our TNA Sacrifice preview, so you'll check that out. It'll come out on Thursday, so check out the Facebooks and the Twitters and the websites for information on when that will drop. You can follow this show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.net. Check out Wrestling Figure Wednesday at youtube.com/mpg1211. It drops every Wednesday and Friday around 5 p.m. Eastern, so check it out. Check out WrestleTalkRadio.com. Check out CBRadio.EWA.com. Check out GoNHLGo.com. There you go, Tim. Done plugging it. Yeah.
All right, well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Under the Contact Us section of my website, if you like my artwork. If you'd like to buy it, it is for sale on my Redbubble store. Just click the link there, and it will take you right to the store so you can buy everything you could ever want, well, at least what's there. If you just want to check out my artwork, you can go to Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter, and check it out, including the new piece featuring Mark Crozer of The Reels. Of course, the front man that sings Bray Wyatt's theme, because how can you not? So, go check that out. Of course, check out, you know, our fine sponsors, Wrestling Figure Wednesday, MBG1211 at YouTube.com, of course, PWMania.com, and TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. Also, go to RackRadioShow.com, because it has all our interviews, and, well, they're awesome.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you get this they are awesome. Get the show on iTunes, search The Rack, search Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Same goes for Stitcher. Both shows are available and streaming on Stitcher, all the archives. And when you're on the go to TuneIn Radio, download the app for your smartphone, tablet, or iPad. It is free. Search Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can listen to us on the go.
Yes, so for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Ain't no way you could be cheating on me. I wonder who's one of those DVDs. Dressed to a T to go hang with the fellas. Over the guys, and I'm getting jealous. Coming home late, smelling like perfume.
Things that make you go,
things that make you go,
things that make you go,
WildTalkRadio.com.